Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
Hey, The Bird Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's The Bird Show's entertainment buzz.
I gotta give a kid warning and a content warning here because we're gonna get into this Jay-Z and Diddy lawsuit where they are accused of something absolutely heinous. So this is gonna involve sexual assault. So Jay-Z and Diddy are both accused in a civil lawsuit of raping a 13-year-old girl back in 2000. So this is a federal lawsuit that was originally filed back in October, so a couple months ago, and then it was refiled on Sunday, and then it included Jay-Z after this. So it was originally just involving Sean Diddy Combs, and now it also involves Jay-Z. So the anonymous accuser is going by Jane Doe and said that the assault happened after she was driven to an MTV Video Music Awards after party. It said that the assault occurred at the house party after the awards, and now Jay-Z is calling the allegations idiotic. He released a very lengthy statement. The statement says, "These allegations are so heinous in nature that I implore you to file a criminal complaint, not a civil one. Whoever would commit such a crime against a minor should be locked away. Would you not agree? These alleged victims would deserve real justice if that were the case. My only heartbreak is for my family, my wife, Beyonce, and I will have to sit our children down, one of whom is at the age where her friends will surely see the press and ask questions about the nature of these claims and explain the cruelty and greed of people. I mourn yet another loss of innocence."
Yeah, there's so much to chew on here. We were talking about this off the show also. Is like, you know, at what point, again, do you threaten for money knowing that even the allegation hurts you personally and hurts your brand? So I think that's why a lot of people settle these things, because now there are going to be 50% are going to assume that she's telling the truth. 50% are going to assume he's an awful, awful, awful person before any of the facts are out. The fact that she did file in not criminal, mm-hmm, but a civil case, it doesn't feel quite right. And there is no accusation you can make to a person that is worse than this for me.
So I just looked up really quick. So in at least in this state, the statute of limitations on rape is 15 years. So if you don't file before then you can't file criminal charges. So then after that, your only way of getting retribution is by doing a civil lawsuit, which is what is happening here. Mm-hmm. And then talking off air, I asked, I'm like, how old is Blue Ivy? And Abby, you told me she's 12. So mm-hmm, it's crazy to think that, you know, she's 1 year younger than what allegedly happened to this victim. And when this story hit the press yesterday, I mean, and it was all, I mean, it was everywhere. And you go into the comments, it's crazy to see, because there were a lot of comments of people like, why was this 13-year-old at an MTV, you know, Video Music Awards or whatever it was, after party, an MTV after party? Where was her parents? Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, all right, full stop. And I know this is a legend and it needs to play out in the court of law, but right now it's playing out in the court of opinion. Instead of making comments like that, how about we make comments of like, why are grown men going after 13-year-old girls if that is the case?
Which we don't even know is the case yet. That's the thing.
So it's so hard to form a solid opinion when everything is so brand new like this and before it plays out. It's unfortunate, but there have been dark rumors surrounding Jay-Z for a very long time. And a lot of people knew and spoke to, once it hit the fan with Diddy, that these allegations wouldn't be far behind. But again, we weren't there. I don't know. You know, I pray to God it's not true, but I will say this. I think it's interesting that, like I said, you file a civil as opposed to a criminal. And I also think it's interesting that Jay-Z decided not to pay any money to have it quiet down. He wants to go through the process, mm-hmm. and he released a statement, which is more words than I think we've gotten from him publicly, maybe ever. And we will have to let it all play out. But I do think that a lot of the chickens are going to come home to roost for a lot of these people, as we say.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say as well. It's just that, you know, normally it takes one very brave person, if these allegations are true, to come forward and say something, and then it begets another case and another case and another case. And from everything we've heard about these parties and Diddy and Jay-Z being there, it wouldn't surprise me at all, like Mo was saying, if we hear case after case after case now. Accusations.
I think in time we will know. We will know the truth. If he really did these things, I don't think he's going to be able to dance his way out of it. And if he didn't, I think he'll be able to regain his name and his image. But however it goes, I think whatever he deserves will eventually come to the light.
I know Jay-Z is one of your all-time favorite rappers, right? And so, obviously, this is I don't even think heinous is the right word for it. That's monster behavior. And as somebody that has looked up to him and kind of put him on like this hip hop pedestal, like, what does that do to you as a fan?
It hits different for sure, because I mean, we're from the same place. You know, I've related to this guy and looked up to this guy since I was super young. But it's why I always say you have to admire people's talents, but you don't know these people as people. You know, you have to know how to separate it. But there's certainly a huge part of me that's praying that this is not true, because I don't want to have to look at someone I once admired in this light.
It's all allegation at this point.
Ugh, it's so tough. All right, Cam Newton's got people upset after a polarizing statement he made about his relationship and what he won't do. It's on your next eBuzz on The Burt Show.
Hey, The Burt Show.
In Burtopia, my made-up city, my made-up island, my made-up country, whatever it is, this is a real thing. That when you were on a flight, you okay?
I'm sorry, that was my coffee.
Thought you gave yourself a concussion.
Nah, it was
I've done that.
It was the mug. It wasn't my face.
I hit my head, my forehead on the mic before.
Didn't it hurts.
Had
dude.
To give myself a standing eight count. I've done I don't know where I was. Anyway, so this would be a real thing. If you were on a plane, I would have engineers create what was the urban legend that there are flights that could put dust in the air. And when you passed gas in the plane, the dust would turn a specific color over that person so you could tell who was passing the gas. That would be a real thing in Burtopia, because it drives me crazy.
Like when you're in the pool, everybody, like they told you as a kid, if you pee in the pool, it's going to change colors. Everybody's going to know you peed. But that's
I think you should be arrested if you fought on planes.
I mean, I understand it's a health thing. Sometimes you got to do what you got to do. But I'm getting to a point, and I told you guys, I did get to this point some time ago on a flight where somebody was passing gas so badly that I did that passive aggressive out loud thing. Like, whoever's doing that, please stop. Please stop. And I knew who it was in front of me. I knew. I was just making a judgment, right? Same thing happens this weekend. This is before we even take off for Chicago. We are sitting in our Delta seats. And, man, this is before we're sitting there just on the runway, and I could smell it. Now, it's only an hour and a half flight, so I'm like, oh, God, but this is how the whole thing is starting. It was so bad. And I looked at Amanda, and I'm like, who do you think it is? And she's like, that's so bad. It doesn't even smell like a human fart. It's so bad. She's like, I think there's something chemical going on in the plane. It's that bad.
And you can't even blame it on altitude because you haven't even taken off yet.
Right.
You can't even blame it on the pressure, the cabin pressure.
What's going on in this plane that the gas is so bad that it can't even smell human-like, that it's a chemical, and I'm the only one around, and Amanda's the only one around that can smell it, right? So we take off, and sure enough, it goes the smell goes away, and then it comes back. So it's clearly gas that we are stuck with for the next hour and a half, and it is in our section.
Ugh.
And it is really, really bad.
Rancid.
So at some point, she realizes when she looks down that the people across from us in the same row brought two French bulldogs on the flight.
It's doggy farts.
And this dude knew exactly what was going on because he looked at a man and he gave the shrug like, I am sorry.
The Michael Jordan shrug.
Yes. Now, I could only see one of the French bulldogs. It was so cute. I didn't realize he had two on there. They were both under the seats. And if you know anything about bulldogs, they are the gassiest of the dogs. And he had two of them on there.
Ooh.
letting them go.
They were nervous. They had a little upset tummy. Can't hate on the Bulldogs.
Yes, you can.
No, you can't.
Yes, you can. And I'm a dog person. I have three dogs. I love them. But that is, I don't know how you fix that, how you prevent that, but that is not fair to your fellow airplane passengers. They have to be subjected to rancid dog farts for 90 solid minutes. Like, that's torture.
Dude, it was terrible.
You should be able to get some sky miles behind that.
Yeah,
people complain about anything.
But I was, actually, I was, like, way cooler about it, knowing they were dogs rather than humans.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, Cassie, so it's a creepy thing and it happened. Is it a sign from the universe, though?
I love hearing about when people say they got signs, but half the time I like to logically think, I'm like, is it a sign or is it just a coincidence or a random thing that happened that you were assigning value to because of what's going on in your life? So I was driving in my car the other day and it was nighttime and I was listening to an audiobook. I forget where I was on the way home from, but I was listening to an audiobook and that's important. Like, it was linked up to my Audible account and that's what was playing. And I'm on the highway and I start thinking about my mom. My mind is wandering and I kind of start tearing up and crying because for some reason I got to stop doing this, but I keep thinking about the future. And I was just like, thinking about like her funeral and the day she passes. And so I put on cruise control because I'm starting to cry. And I'm like, you know what? And my car has lane assistance. So it kind of keeps you in the lane and it'll go around curves and stuff just as an added safety feature, right? Just to keep everyone safe before I have to pull over. And so I double click like the steering handle thing down to do cruise control. And all of a sudden the music turns off my audiobook. I have not touched anything else. This handle is not linked to the volume, to the dash in any way, shape, or form like that. But I click it down twice and then this starts playing.
Seasons don't fear the reaper.
Oh, God.
Don't fear the reaper.
Are you serious?
Uh-huh. By Blue Oyster Cult. And so don't fear the reaper. And so I'm sitting there and I'm like, is this a sign? Because I've weirdly been smelling my grandmother like quite frequently lately when I flew to Houston for my mom's like procedure. And you know how like if you go to your grandparents' house, there are just smells that are just associated with specific places or specific mm-hmm. people, like her laundry detergent, which is, she's from the UK, so it's a very signature scent, like just on and off over and over again, all these different smells that are, her making toast and tea in the morning in her kitchen in her house, like random. So I hear that and I'm like, oh, okay, this is very weird. I've got a little bit of comfort, though. Like, don't fear the reaper actually made me feel like, okay, well, I don't need to be worried about anything. This is the universe giving me a sign. And so then I'm driving, and then I'm, like, thinking, I'm like, wow, that's, like, a really lovely thing for the universe to give me. What a gift. And then I hear this.
I got a fever, and the only prescription is more cowbell.
It was what? The SNL More Cowbell skit of Don't Fear the Reaper with Will Ferrell.
What is happening?
Oh, damn.
Yes.
Wow.
So it's like, more cowbell, more cowbell. And they're hitting the cowbell. And I'm like, what is going on? So now I pull over because I'm like, I am so distracted. I cannot be driving. I need to stop this.
Your grandma's got jokes.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't want to hear more cowbell, more cowbell. Like, I'm trying to be in my feels, one with the universe. And Will Ferrell, dunk, dunk, dunk. So I pull over and I open my apps, like on my iPhone, and I swipe up and I just start closing all of them. TikTok is not open. Instagram is not open because I thought maybe something happened and it just, flipped into the app and started playing. You know how sometimes mm-hmm. it can do that? They're not open. And you know when you close an app while sound is playing, it just cuts off uh-huh. immediately, the sound? It didn't do that. I closed every app and it was still playing and it faded out slowly.
What?
Wow.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
And then it happened again another day. Same thing. No apps open. No cowbell this time, but Don't Fear the Reaper started playing again
the
in the
Saturday
car.
Night Live version or the Oyster Cult version?
Just the Blue Oyster Cult version at another time when I put it in cruise. It must be something. I'm wondering if somebody built it into the car as like a joke or something into the software, but I did it again and it started playing again. And again, I pull over. TikTok's not open. Instagram's not open. Facebook is it? No social media platform that would have video is open and it fades out instead of cutting off when I close out all the apps.
Something is messing with
you. Most bizarre, right?
Yes.
The Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It is time to keep it 100 with a little side of a not so humble brag. There's some adventures in motherhood this past weekend that I would like to share because misery loves company. And moms and dads, if you want to share what you overcame keeping it 100 with parenthood to make sure Abby never wants to procreate, then by all means, call up right now. 1-855-BIRCHO, 855-237-8746 with a little bit of humble brag. All right, so Friday I was off. Because we have a rotating Friday off. So this past Friday, I had off, got to sleep in a little bit, got up, my husband got Jimmy off to preschool. He had an early dismissal on Friday because the teachers were having a luncheon for the holiday. So I was supposed to pick him up at noon, right? So I get up, I get all my Christmas cards together, I get my Christmas cards mailed out, I go do a little mani-pedi action to get my Christmas nails and my Christmas toes. I bop on over to Jimmy's preschool, pick him up at noon because it's early dismissal. Once a week, I like to take him out to lunch. And so I'm like, hey, you want to go get a pancake? And he, of course, he's always down for pancakes. Mm-hmm. So we go over to First Watch to get ourselves a pancake and just have a nice little lunch, right? The day's going swimmingly. So we're sitting there, we order our food, and then as a 3.5-year-old will do, he looks at me, he's like, Mom, I gotta go pee-pee, Mom, I gotta go pee-pee, Mom, I gotta go pee-pee. And I'm like, all right, you're listening to your body, good. So we run to the bathroom, and he goes in there, and we pee-pee. And the bathroom, you learn that most bathrooms, toddlers, they can't reach the sink, and a majority of them do not have step stools. So you're gonna have to pick your kid up to get the soap, to wash their hands, and to dry it off. A majority of bathrooms now, too, don't actually have paper towels. They only have those air dryers, which my son hates because it's too loud. It's, mine, too.
It's not just for kids. Mo has to do that for me when we end up in the bathroom together because I'm so short.
That's where the biceps come from.
So Jimmy goes pee-pee, and so I bend down to pick him up, to lift him up, to get the soap. And as I bend down to pick him up and I twist and lift, I feel the pop in my back. And I feel the pinch. And I have pulled a muscle in my thoracic area of my back. And when I say I pulled a muscle, I'm saying I picked this kid up and I immediately have to set him down. And I'm going, in the bathroom, right?
And you don't want him to get so freaked out that you're freaked out because then that can really cause a scene.
And it's like, Mama, what happened? Mama, what happened? And I'm like, Mama, hurt her back. Hold on a second. But his hands are covered in soap, right? Because we had gotten the soap, but my back is down. So I try to pick him back up to get him to the sink. And dude, it is donezo. Like, it is over. My back is out. I am screwed. So I'm just like splashing water on him to get like the soap off of his hands. And then trying to get, there were no paper towels. So, and he doesn't want to do the air dryer thing. So now we're both sopping wet. And I am like hobbling out of the bathroom with him. And I'm sitting at the table and our food had come. And so I'm trying to like cut his pancake so he can eat. I'm texting my husband to let him know I have just S the bed. I just threw my back out trying to wash Jimmy's hands in the bathroom, right? So I managed to get us home. I never saw my blind spot the whole time. It was just put your blinker on and pray, trying to get home because I couldn't turn around to check my blind spot. We got home. Thank God our babysitter was free. She came over, was able to watch him for a couple hours till Bart got home. I was not able to schedule was not able to get into urgent care that day because obviously
it was that bad.
It was so sweet though. While we were waiting on the babysitter to arrive, Jimmy and I went upstairs. It actually still hurts to, like, to breathe in deeply. Jimmy and I went upstairs and we were cuddling in the bed waiting on her to get there. And he goes, "It's okay, Mama. I cuddle with you and I make your back feel better."
Oh, damn.
That's so cute.
And then he actually kissed my back because every one of his boo-boos, I kiss and make better. So he kissed my back to make it feel better. Unfortunately, it didn't work. I needed muscle relaxers, but we got there. So I make an appointment.
If you really wanted to help, that's where you should have said, "Hey, yeah, go get Mommy the muscle relaxers."
you head on down to the CVS and get me some. So, I couldn't get into urgent care that night. So I got into urgent care at 9:30 a.m. the next day, right? I go. They were awesome. I got a steroid shot in the butt. I got my prescription of steroids, my prescription of muscle relaxers. But he had a birthday party to go to that day. So I'm at urgent care at 9:30. And then I'm at home picking him up at 10:30 and taking him to a trampoline park in Marietta for a birthday party, right? So we get to the birthday party, and I'm explaining to him, and he gets it. I'm like, Mama can't pick you up, so I need you to walk. And he's doing all, because your back hurt, Mama. And I'm like, yes. So he's doing all the things. So we're at this birthday party at this trampoline park, and it's off the chain. It's packed. And he once again tells me he has to go potty, but this time he has to go poo-poo because I think from all that bouncing, he was just shaking everything out, right? Well, we get to the bathroom, and we're having an issue because he's having so much fun playing that he doesn't want to stop what he's doing, that he is messing his pants.
Oh, no.
So here I am with my jacked up back, and we're in the bathroom, and he's, you know, he's doing like he's got to go poo-poo. And I almost just ripped the pants down to put him on the toilet, but I thought about it because we've been having this incident, and I peek and I look, and sure enough, he crapped his pants.
Oh, no. No.
So now we're in the stall at this trampoline joint. And I'm trying to shimmy him out of his pants and out of his underwear without, like, just smearing it all down his legs. And while I'm doing this, he had picked his nose, so he had a booger on his finger.
Oh, the trifecta.
And so he's sitting there, and I'm trying to get his pants and underwear off. And he's like, ew, I got a boogie. I got a boogie.
He's more grossed out by the boogie than the poop in his pants?
Yes.
Okay.
So
I get
the booger off the finger. I get the pants off. I get the underwear off. We throw the underwear away because there is no saving the underwear. And once again, we are in a bathroom that has no paper towels. I don't have backup underwear. I don't have wet wipes.
Damn.
I got nothing here. So I got my kid, Commando, with his poopy butt in the stall. And I'm like, listen, I got to run. And I got a wad of toilet paper that I need to wet to clean my son's ass.
Oh, my God. Cluster, man.
So, and then I go, stay here. Does he stay? No. So now my kid is just running around bottomless in the bathroom at altitudes. I finally get him clean. We did the rest of the party, Commando. I got home, got him down for a nap, and I was just like, I did that.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, you did.
I did that.
You survived.
And then I popped a muscle relaxer.
All right. Survive in advance. That's what it is.
The Bird Show.
I think Messy Mikey had a really good point on Friday when I said to him, look, man, I'm on Reddit, and here is a four pages of questions that one woman said that she gave to her boyfriend before they moved in together, and they could answer all of these questions before they moved in together, which seems like even the suggestion of a four-page application, basically, would have been enough for me to go, okay, let's put off the whole moving in together thing, right? But for you saying on Friday that, you know, isn't the fun of a lot of this learning it as we go along and learning how to handle our differences as we go along? I think it's a really good point.
Yeah, man. I think that lady is probably boring as hell. She's probably a nightmare to be around. I mean, it takes all this. Doing this stupid questionnaire just sucked the fun right out of the room.
I bet.
It was the worst. I hated this.
Well, when people say, hey, let's have fun. Let's do something crazy. Questionnaire isn't really the first thing that
let's
comes off.
Let's evaluate each other's characteristics.
Yeah. Well, didn't you do that with Bart from time to time, though, at the end of the year, though, right? I mean, you guys sit down and you have these, like, New Year's resolutions for each other type thing?
No, I mean, it wasn't a questionnaire. It wasn't even resolutions. We set goals, aspirations for each other. So at the end, not at the end of the year, but on New Year's Day, we would give each other three things that we thought that the other person could work on for the year to, like, you know, for a little self-improvement.
Mm-hmm. All right, so this whole thing was four pages long. I didn't want you to go through all of that, but I said, why don't you guys pick out, like, five to go over, which are the ones that gave you the most hard time? Was there anything in there at all that was sort of eye-opening before you move in together?
Well, we went through every question.
Ooh.
And you really got to be in a certain mood for that, and I was not in that mood. I was like,
drunk?
I was
passed out by the time you're done with the last
one. Yeah, this thing was tough. We learned stuff, a lot of stuff we learned that we didn't need. I don't know. You don't need to know it all. You just can do it on the fly. Why do you have to write these rules out? And it's also frustrating. It's like, if we actually run into any of these problems now the other person's going to be like, well, you said on the questionnaire that you wouldn't do that. And it's like, you can't hold this questionnaire against me.
How long did it take you to do all of those questions?
I was flying through it. I was like, curfew? Nope. Next question. No, I was trying to get through this thing. Also, the title of it that you wrote is Question for Mikey to Go Over with His Girlfriends. So I was sure to go through it with all of them. All right, here's one right here. What worries you most about moving in together? It says, think hard on this one. It gives you all kinds of like guidance throughout the question. Just give me the straight up question. My biggest worry is getting sick of each other. And her biggest worry is about me being messy and eating in bed.
Mm-hmm.
But the getting sick of each other thing, it's like with this as well, it's not like I'm moving to Antarctica. I couldn't think of anything good.
You got a whole morning show in that head of yours going on right now, don't you? So you have the same fears, like being on top of each other all the time.
Yeah.
And just the relationship goes stale after a while.
But it's not that deep because we're both 30 minutes from home. If she needs to kick me out, I can go stay at home for 5 days. Mm-hmm. It's not that serious.
Is
I don't
she
think.
Cool with you going out with your friends and you're cool with her going out with her friends?
Yes, I'm sure she would beg me to go out with my friends. She can stay home and read her book. She's dying to read her book, and I'm annoying her too much to be able to do that. Hey, you want to hear the most annoying questions on these things?
Oh, sure.
They're treating a relationship like business. What goals do you have for yourself in the next 5 years? What goals do you have for me in the next 5 years? What goals do you have for us in the next 5 years?
Oof.
What a
did I answer them?
That was like seven questions in too. Yeah, I mean, all of them come down to money. It's like, well, I want more money.
Pretty simple.
Yeah, and then here we go again. Do you believe being in a relationship is like being in a business with someone? Why or why not? No. I mean, like, I hear all the thing about transactional. I don't know. No, it's not a business. You're in a relationship. It's the opposite of a business.
Was there any of them that were actually productive besides annoying?
Are you comfortable with food in the bedroom?
All right. So you like that. She does not.
Yeah. And it caused a big conversation. And guess who won? I get goldfish in bed.
Like a what man. Are you, like five?
What a man.
So what? There had to have been somewhat of a compromise.
Well, she was just like, can you just go into the kitchen that's like 5 feet away and eat it? And I was like, no, but it's cold out there.
Okay, but so you get to have goldfish in bed. What does she get in return?
All of this glory.
No, whenever I eat goldfish in bed, she has a goldfish too. It's like she's acting like it's all on me. Mm-hmm. I'm just the one who brings the idea, but she enjoys it too.
It's impossible not to leave crumbs with goldfish, though. You pick the one food that will explode in your mouth, and it's impossible.
You decrumb the bed. I say, all right, get up, let's decrumb, and then you go.
Decrumb.
Yeah, you have to decrumb.
That's crazy.
Never heard that.
It's like one of those tools that they use at a fancy restaurant to get. You're just using it for your bed.
The Bird Show.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take five before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Less chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Bird Show's entertainment buzz.
The newest New York Met just signed the largest contract in professional sports history. This is a soft spot. This is a sore spot for Mo.
Sorry, was that LL?
As he walks into the studio this morning in his Yankees hat, who this dude played for up until yesterday.
So this all has to do with Juan Soto. He was a New York Yankee up until very recently when he signed a $765 million contract that will span over 15 years. This is crazy to me. As like a casual sports fan, to me, I hear 15 years. I'm like, what if this guy gets injured? What if he's not good in 2 years? You know what I mean? Like 15 years is a crazy amount of time. So they've really got to believe in this dude. But y'all were saying that they believe he's like a generational talent.
He's definitely a generational talent for sure. I feel like baseball is really the only sport where they'll give you like a 15-year contract because you can play that long. I doubt if he will, but It's the largest contract in sports history that anyone's ever signed.
It's crazy. So I just did a quick Google search on it, and I'm not sure what year this was, but considering the player, this must have been the mid-70s. The first Major League Baseball free agent, which Juan Soto was. A free agent means your contract is up, and you can sign with anybody you want. The very first one signed a five-year deal for $3.75 million with the Yankees.
Wow. Look how far we've come. Yep.
So the Yankees, they could have countered or they didn't?
The Yankees gave an offer. I was in the office.
Yeah, right.
Right? The Yankees did give him an offer, and the Mets offered more.
So the guy that owns the Mets is the richest owner of all the rich owners in baseball. He's the richest. So giving up a contract, like, you don't care, man. That's like 20 cents to you and me. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So allegedly, the Dodgers, the Boston Red Sox, and the Toronto Blue Jays were in this bidding war, of course, with the New York Mets and the New York Yankees. And yeah, the Mets just won out with $765 million. The Yankees offered $760 million over 16 years. So he got a little bit closer to the orange and blue.
And he doesn't have to move.
Yeah, fortunately for him. I mean, but I think Yankees fans, we knew he was gone. As soon as we lost in the World Series, he didn't waste any time saying, I'm going where the money resides.
But go over those. I mean, this is not sports talk or anything. Go over both of those offers again.
So the Yankees offered him $760 million over 16 years, so into his early 40s. And then the Mets offered him $765 million over 15 years.
It's crazy to me, man, because the Yankees, for the most part, traditionally have been the team that you have the best opportunity to win a World Series with. That should count, but he straight up said in the very beginning, I'm going wherever the money is.
He didn't waste any time. I mean, literally in the press conference of us just losing the World Series, he told everybody, yeah, whoever pay me more, I'm letting you know. I'm packing my bags.
Personally, I'd rather take less money for a team that I know is going to compete for a championship every year than the most money, but what do I know?
Well, at least you can be happy the Dodgers didn't get him.
Yeah.
Because I thought that's where he was going to go.
That would have driven me crazy.
Well, then you got to move cross country. But here's the thing. If I'm a player, I think something that would also hold a lot of weight for me, and maybe this speaks to like the team chemistry on the Yankees this year, is that if I've already been with a team for a year and I've already seen that we have the chance to go to the World Series, like I don't want to have to start rebuilding that chemistry with a bunch of other dudes on the opposing team. Now people might be, they can't really question your loyalty when you have a 15-year contract. But for me, I see this guy who's playing for the Yankees and then he's going to cross over to the other side. Like, his loyalty lies where the money is.
Here's another thing about this deal, right? So let's say for the next 5 years, he just kicks ass. Like, he is as good as everybody thought he was going to. He has a player option, so he could get out of that deal and then sign with another team for even more money in 5 years.
It's insane. Yeah, he does have an opt-out clause. So after 5 years, he could bounce. But 5 years is still a significant amount of time.
I did wonder that too, as a Yankee fan, like, were the players kind of going out of the way to build a rapport with him, hoping that he would stay. But you never know when you're not in the locker room, but from where I was standing, it didn't seem like it.
The more I hear about boy drama, the more I'm like begging for Bravo to start a real, not Housewives, but like a real baseball players of the New York Yankees. And I want to hear all the dugout drama. I want to hear the gossip. I want to get the wags on there, because I know that men pretend to be less petty and less dramatic than women, but I got a feeling there's something that happened on that team that made him think, I want to jump ship.
Yeah, because he's on a team on the Yankees with a whole bunch of other stars. Now he goes to the Mets, where he is the biggest one also. So maybe he didn't want to be in the same lineup as like an Aaron Judge. But the closest thing you're talking to is a show called Hard Knocks, but it's about the NFL. And it's about as good as behind the scenes sort of drama as you can get with dudes.
Yeah, they're going to be all a little bit more low-key.
Yeah, it's a good one though.
Listen, I love it anytime a man wears orange and blue. So happy that he's now rocking the colors.
It's so long goodbye.
Sorry, bro.
All right, for more stories, head to the Burt Show podcast on your favorite listening platform.
The Burt Show.
I have so much more respect for my girl from this weekend who handled a situation that I am 100% sure none of us in here, and probably 99% of you guys listening right now, would not have handled this with the same kind of coolness and sense of humor she did. First of all, let me give you a little insight on our bizarro first night in Chicago this weekend. We went up there, she had to work, but we had Friday night together, so we were going to go to a Chicago Bulls game, right? The Uber situation in Chicago is kind of a cluster, man. It's kind of hard to find your car. Sometimes it ends up in the front of a hotel. Sometimes it's on the side of the hotel. So I ordered an Uber an hour before the game, right? We're going to get there with plenty of time so we can check out the stadium and enjoy it and all. So we're having the toughest time locating our Uber driver. He can't locate us. Finally, we end up, I end up at an Uber and he's like, Amanda. And I'm like, that's weird because I ordered on my app, but maybe I ordered on her app. Whatever. So yeah, so I'm yelling at Amanda, who's on the other side of the street looking for our Uber. I'm like, he's here, he's here, he's here. She comes on over, and before she gets in, she says, who are you looking for? And he says, Amanda. And then he asks for, or she asks and takes a look at the license plate, and it's not the same one. So it just happened to be coincidence that he was picking up an Amanda, and my girl is an Amanda, but it's the wrong Amanda.
I'm impressed you guys even checked the license plate. Mm.
She did. I can't take credit for that.
Who knows where you could have ended up, though?
Who knows, right? Not the end of Bizarro Night. So we are still need an Uber to get to the game. So I call an Uber. Again, same problem. We finally find him. He rolls down the window, says, Bert. I say, yes. We get into the car. He starts driving, and a quarter mile down the road, he stops and he pulls over and he lets us out. The place that we were going to, I think it's called the United Center for Chicago Bulls, is another 20 minutes away. So we say, this is not it. And he says, yeah, this is it. And I said, what's the name of the guy that you're picking up? And he said, Robert. And I'm like, I'm Herbert on mine. So he didn't mention that. He just used the name Bert. Okay. So wrong Uber again. Get into a third Uber. Finally get there. Either way, that's how Bizarro Night starts. Because you've got Amanda, you got a Bert on two of the wrong Ubers. We get into the Chicago Bulls game. We're having a good time. We're drinking. And it's between the first and second quarters, so our periods. So we go out and walk around and get a hot dog and get a drink. And as we're walking back to our seats, you can kind of hear a little bit of a yelling and a squirmish going on behind us. We can't quite figure it out. And before we could even turn around, a father is helping his what looks to be a 12 or 13 year old son who is having stomach problems puke into a cup as they are running down the hall into the bathroom. The kid gets close enough to Amanda that he pukes in Amanda's open shoe.
No. What?
I swear to you, I can't make this up. It wasn't like a sandal, but there was some space between the bottom of her pant and her shoe, which was a little bit opened, and the kid's puke went into her shoe.
Oh my God. Nope.
I'm freaking out, and all she's doing is laughing it off. And at this point, I'm like, you're by far and away the coolest chick I've ever met. Because I'd be flipping out right now.
Totally flipping out right now.
All right, so how is Candace Owens pissed off everybody this week?
So, yes, Candace Owens is a political commentator who does indeed piss a lot of people off. And she's creating a conversation in the black community once again surrounding music this time. She was speaking to Nick Cannon on what I believe was his podcast, and they were doing an interview. And she was speaking to conspiracy theories. And one of the things that she brought up is how she feels as if music has changed a lot within the black community, because we've gone from artists like Whitney Houston and Michael Jackson to now artists like Sexy Red, who she personally believes that they are putting at the forefront of black music in order to create an agenda.
If an artist comes to me and says, I've been told to record something demonic, or I had a conversation with Amber Rose, and she was a couple of weeks ago, and it was a lot of her telling me that she was basically just being pushed by people that you need to be more sexual and to be more sexual. I accept that obviously at a certain point, and this gets into why you were saying why I won't bend for money. I wouldn't do it. I'm built different, you know, but I also acknowledge that these people are being pushed in a certain direction. Women, you're being told, can you make it sexier? I will not accept. The conspiracy to me is to try to convince me that the times have changed, and we went from, in the black community, producing Michael Jackson and Whitney Houston to what really black people really want to hear right now is Sexy Red. And so that's the reason why these record labels are going to Sexy Red and offering her a deal. I refuse to believe that.
As much as it hurt me to say this, I actually think she has a point.
Yeah.
I do. I don't think that the example she used was as complete as it should have been, because, I mean, I think singers and, you know, stars were problematic back in the day, just like some are now. And I think you still had a lot of artists around the Whitney Houstons and the Michael Jacksons that weren't necessarily delivering the best messages. So I don't think that's the change per se. But I do think in times today, they push the agenda of especially female artists to be more on the sexy side than anything else. And I think that's where we've lost the balance. I think back in the day, you kind of had both. You know, you had an MC Light, for example, to go a certain direction if you wanted to listen to that kind of music. Queen Latifah was another one. Nowadays, the balance is a little off, where I think so many of these artists, especially like the women who are rapping, it's almost as if you cannot get to a certain height unless your content is within the same dynamic of the rest of the artists.
Unless you're doing stripper moves on stage.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, I can't speak for the black culture, but sex is always sold. Like, that's always been used, especially for, like, young pop stars. I mean, I remember when Britney Spears was on the cover of Rolling Stone back in the day, and, like, her little skimpy underwear, and, like, she was having a sleepover or whatever, and everybody just kind of, like, lost their minds. But I feel like record labels, they have always pushed that agenda on young pop stars, especially in female artists. So I'm assuming that's just the same case for those who are in the hip hop and R&B world.
I completely agree with you. And that's why I say I don't think they're pushing it more now than they ever have. I just think we've lost the other side of it, where if you wanted it to be a little more balanced.
I think Ice Spice is a great example of that also. I think her music sucks, but they're selling her on sex, 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 sex.
That's all there is to it.
The Bird Show. Real funny.
Look, at the end of the day, it's a murder, but see a lot of people laughing about it, and a lot of people sort of pulling for the killer not to get caught in this case. Abby and Cassie were telling us about this CEO killer last week.
So this all has to do with United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson. So in New York last week, he was shot and killed by someone executing vigilante justice. He shot Brian Thompson with this bullet that had, what was it, like, deny, depose, defend written on it, which is it's alluding to insurance companies' mottos for what they deal with, what they do with people's claims, when basically, like, they just don't let people get the medical care that they need because for whatever reason it doesn't fit whatever criteria.
They're just making it as hard as for people as they can in order to get any kind of money back at all.
And a lot of people on social media are sharing the fact that they're like, you know what, people maybe need to start taking things into their own hands when we have people profiting off of, you know, people needing medical care. And people are making light of it. Like, I saw a Washington Square Park meetup where basically people were doing one of those celebrity lookalike contests where they were trying to find people that looked like the CEO killer. And I mean, people are laughing at the fact that this has gone down.
Yeah, the jokes are hiding out in the open. This is Saturday Night Live from Saturday Night. It's hard not to laugh.
This week, New York City officials sent a tough message on crime. If you shoot somebody in the middle of the street, you better get on your bike, hop on a bus, and get the heck out of here, mister. The manhunt continues for the assassin who gunned down the CEO of United Healthcare on Wednesday. And it really says something about America that a guy was murdered in cold blood. And the two main reactions were, yeah, well, healthcare stinks. And also, girl, that shooter hot.
I mean, the jokes are flying left and right because I think so many people are pissed off about insurance.
Yeah, and they haven't identified the shooter yet. They think he arrived on a Greyhound bus that was on a route from Atlanta to New York, though they don't know if he boarded in Atlanta or one of the other stops. They also think he got the bus on the way out again. So they're working in several states and with the FBI. They have a few clues, so beyond the bullets with defend, deny, depose on them. They also found a cup with a smeared thumbprint on it, a burner phone that he ditched. They believe they found his backpack in Central Park, so they're looking through that. Mm-hmm. But it was full of, like, it had a Tommy Hilfiger jacket and a bunch of Monopoly money on it randomly, which makes me think he left it there on purpose to be found. Like, who carries Monopoly money? Or he is a kid. They haven't found the gun yet, though, but they have been doing some dives in nearby bodies of water to look for the gun as well. So they don't know who it is yet, but they feel close. Now, they've released several photos of this guy. They think they have him in a taxi cab, at a nearby hostel, outside of Starbucks. And I might just be really, really bad with faces, but every photo looks like a different guy to me.
Really?
It just all looks like a guy wearing a jacket with, like, a face covering, which it's cold in New York. So, I mean, I get it, but I don't know if the police are keeping stuff from the public. Like, maybe they're more hot on the trail than they're letting on.
I think that is almost for sure.
But they are saying it's very difficult because the guy had a full face mask on during the shooting, and Brian Thompson was shot in the back, but it is interesting to see the public's reaction to this. And, you know, and no one here on this show, I mean, I can speak for all of us, says we condone murder or death. That is not the way to handle things. But I do think the public's reaction to this and really not caring, saying things like, oh, those bullets were over 10 years old. Sorry, that's a pre-existing condition. Or I'm not pre-authorized for thoughts and prayers, or thoughts and prayers claim denied. Things like that are just showcasing people do not care. And some people are even going as far as to say, he was with me that night. I didn't see anything. Who are you talking about? And wanting him to not be caught because of this. And I really just think it speaks to a state that the country is in where some people are, I would say, even celebrating the death of somebody. But this person has had control over millions of other people and them not getting access to the care that they need. And so they're losing loved ones.
I just want to remind everybody that he was also a husband and had two sons.
They lived apart, though, for several years. And that's the thing, because that's come, well, that's come up a lot, too. But people will say something like, yeah, so did the evil emperor in Star Wars. Like, it doesn't make you a good person just because you're married and you have kids. And I feel bad for his sons, especially, like, they didn't ask for this. Nobody, no child should have to lose their parent like that. And that, I think, is the battle a lot of people are having with it. Like, this horrific out-of-the-blue murder that happened to somebody with a family, with a job, who managed people. But at the same time, on the flip side of the coin, they're like, you chose to be that CEO. You chose to deny millions of people access to health care. You're not a good person. You're evil and you deserve it. And I don't really think it's our place to judge, honestly, but that's sort of where the country is right now.
I think a lot of people have been kind of have had their own circumstance where they've been screwed over by insurance companies, and they're using this as sort of their cathartic, like, yay, even though they didn't know this guy. It might not have been the same insurance company, but at the end of the day, a murder is a murder.
That's not, that's what I'm saying. Like, I just sit back and I watch the reaction, and it's honestly stomach churning, and it's terrifying, but that's where we are right now.
The Burt Show.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.